He's ill.
Senator Bennett?
He's gone.
Senator Binkley?
Here.
Representative Cato? Representative Davidson? Senator Eliason? Senator Biggs?
Here.
Chairman Ferencamp?
Here.
Representative Grusendorf?
Here.
Senator Tatula? Representative Copeland?
Present.
Representative Miller?
Here.
Representative Phillips? Representative Ulmer?
Here.
Thank you. Quorum has been established. Have you had a chance to review your minutes from last meeting?
Madam Chairman, I move that the minutes of January 27th, 1987 be adopted.
Is there objection? Okay, we'll go to the executive director's report, Quorum.
Madam Chairman, we have the draft procurement procedures ready for submission to the council for approval. And Mr. Keith Levy is here from the division, the legal services division, for any questions that might come up during the meeting.
Since all of us, I think, know that the new procurement code kind of requires us to review that. Keith, would you like to kind of give us a little background on that, anything that might be new or?
Okay, the procurement code was enacted last session and it takes effect July 1 of this year. It doesn't apply by its terms directly to the legislature, but it does require legislative council to adopt and publish procedures setting out procurement procedures that are consistent with the principles in the code. So basically what that means is that the council has to doesn't have to follow specifically any of the terms in the code, but does have to, what it does has to follow those procedures. And these procedures that I've drafted that are in your packets basically do that. There are a number of none of them directly conflict with the code itself, but there are a number of things addressed in the code that are not addressed in the procedures, mainly because I don't have any policy direction on that. It doesn't mean that the council does have to address them, but it's something they wish to consider. And I can tell you what those are.
In order to save a little time, since it's my plan to appoint a subcommittee on that to work on it and make recommendations to this body, and all of us will have copies of it for our own study, that we'll just leave it with that, with appointing a subcommittee of Senator Biggs, Senator Binkley, Representative Cato, and Representative Miller to serve as a subcommittee on that and make your recommendations of changes or additions or whatever in that line.
Madam Chairman, when do you want that report of the subcommittee due to the full council?
I would think, I don't see that as, since it's a July 1st, as an absolute rush item, but I would think within the next couple of meetings.
Okay, within two meetings and 30 days about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would that would be early enough to meet with any schedules, would it not?
Okay, we've got the shortage of walrus pins.
Yeah.
Well, last time it was flags. But Representative Miller had written a memo to Jack Fuller asking that the agency, the council, look into the possibility of maybe selling the pins to civic organizations, that the types of folks that come in and need those when they're going on a trip or they're having a meeting in the state and they want walrus pins or flag pins. I know we do give out an awful lot of pins at the request of legislators, basically, to various civic organizations, nonprofit organizations, and it would cut down the number of pins that we've been going through. That is a no. We we went through 38,000 pins since I've been at the agency 2 years. We do keep track of the pins that we have. So I don't know if the council would be interested in.
I'd like to see how the council feels about this. It seems to me that the policy has been pretty open. If somebody wants them, they ask for them. And in reviewing the history, there was a time when there was a limit set for each legislator. And that's many times doesn't take into consideration those who attend conferences and really have needs for them and those that put them in their desk and they stay there. But if you think this is an important item, then I think we should really look at it, because it runs from thousands to one legislator to hardly none. You were speaking for.
Well, I just have a question. What's the public purpose for having the state sell these pens? Couldn't we just give them the address and say, if you want this, here are the vendors?
Okay.
Why are we involved in the selling and marketing of pens? I mean, what's the rationale? That's what I need to know.
We're not.
We could
go for it on a bid and ask that they make additional pins available. The cost would be more for them to go out to the vendor that provides the pins. We're also asking then that the vendor manufacture a certain number of pins to have available. In other words, a stock. They aren't going to be an item that the vendor would normally carry. So we're asking them to stock them. Obviously, that's preferable to us stocking them. I would just as soon not sell the pins. But what happens when a group comes in, they need 50 pins next week, and how will they get those pins? The award, we are looking at going to an in-state vendor, but I don't really think that the pins will be manufactured in-state, and I don't know that an in-state vendor will win the bid competitively anyway. Right now, Linda, is that in Minnesota?
The place that we got the
flags.
Ones? The flags are in Colorado.
Colorado. Okay,
that's
so.
Walrus pins.
The Walrus pins were a local, were Oliver's Trophies, I believe, here in Juneau last time around.
How much are we talking about per pin?
The flags, Senator Fakes, were 23 cents each, and the last time on the Walrus pins, well, we went out for price quotes last year on Walrus pins, they were 28 cents. And then it adds about 2 cents if they are on a card that says compliments of the state of Alaska. I think you've all seen the Walrus pin on the card. It would cost 2 cents additional.
30 cents per pin on the card.
On the card. We would estimate probably 25 cents on a card for the flag. We haven't never done that in the past. They've always been bulk. And they did run 23 cents.
I guess my question to you as a council is, there is expense involved. Is it important enough that you'd like to see a group work on a recommendation? Would you like to take a vote today? What is your pleasure?
For 2 years, you said 38,000 Walrus pins?
38,000 total of both Walrus and flags.
Oh, okay. So the highest amount of money is 11,400, thinking 30 cents times 38,000. So we got $11,400 in pins and flags to hand out to the public for 2 years.
Yes.
Are they used statewide?
They seem to be popular statewide.
Are they used more in-state or out-of-state? For out-of-state trips or in-state school children, or who uses them? Has there been some research done as to a survey factor as to who is, what section of the public gets the highest use out of these things?
Well, I really don't know how. We don't ask that what the request is for. I know a lot of requests are made for various organizations that are meeting within the state and they want to hand them out to visitors. There are some basketball teams, volleyball teams that do hand them out to opponents that they play. And then, of course, I'm sure that the legislators hand them out when they go on trips and also in state.
One more question, Madam Chairman. Do other states have similar mementos that they hand out?
I'm sure it's...
I can answer that as far as Council of State Governments, Western Conference, and CSL, absolutely. Senator Kapil, you were trying to get attention.
Oh, just following her when she had finished, the President,
Were you finished, Senator? I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to follow up. I guess I feel like I'm making a decision to avoid here. I personally, I know you must have logged in many requests from my office. They're primarily in my office used for school children. But I teach several dozen classes an interim. And I give a walrus pin out to every child when I go into the classroom to teach. That's primarily my function. It's worth it to me. I'll pay the 30 cents if necessary. Those kids love those walrus pins. What I'd like to do is make the decision with some sort of guidance here. If it's $5,000 a year to keep us in walrus pins and flags to hand out to folks as a goodwill mission, then to me that's worth it. But I still feel like I'm making the decision in a void.
Senator Kapil.
One, most every state and foreign nation has gifts and pens and so on that put most of ours to shame. Even the Walrus pin is a very nice little gift. My requests have been for people, most recently a bunch of educators that were at some international meeting in Australia. They needed 75. That sort of thing goes on all the time. And I know from time to time I've personally made purchases so that I had gifts. And as you will do, and as most of you have done. In fact, I think I was a beneficiary of one of your gifts when you passed around Western Conference. Our business will do so. But we are always in a terribly embarrassing situation insofar as gifts go when we have any responsibilities of serving on behalf of the legislature. Most of the time, and it's a good thing, we're willing to dig in our pockets or go to our constituents that are particular products and so on that they have. The other nations and the other states both just do a lot more than we do in this regard. And to me, even if I purchase every single walrus pin, we'd better have them available. And that's a very small thing, and it is a popular item. And as a rule, I wouldn't say go spending money on these sort of things, but in fact, there is a considerable demand. It's an out-of-state demand in my experiences, and it's by constituents who have a mission out-of-state.
Personally, Senator, in response to that, since you mentioned me, I have I've used them a lot. I've had requests from quota clubs when they were having conventions, etc. And I did not just want to make a decision without it's my goal in life to consult with you as we go along with council. It seems to me that I'm hearing people are satisfied with the present policy. Is that true?
I don't have any problems with availability of the pins. But I just want to know if you have the charging of them. Are you going to charge these groups for it? Is that the policy question? Well, what is the question anyway?
The question was, do people want to stay with the same policy? Do you want to look at a change? Do you feel like it's being abused? Do you feel like there's too much money involved? That was my question.
I might say that going to transportation meetings and things like that with various groups outside, I always take them with me. And they're always very, very well received. And I don't know how we can publicize the state of Alaska any better than that kind of publication. Other states use
it. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just would like to say that I've utilized them in my short time here, both at the local, state, national, and international level. And I would propose that since we've been on the walrus for quite some time, maybe we should try a fine bear species like is a resident on Kodiak Island for 1 year.
You don't beat a winner here. This is a winner now. We don't want to change.
Yeah, I was thinking
the cabbage.
I support this particular expenditure at this time, but I would like to see us perhaps for special purposes buy somewhat larger pin, perhaps the Bill Spear pins for special presentations. We're receiving parliamentary, inter-parliamentary visits from Northwest Territories and the Yukon, we have had the Canadian Senate here. I note on Senator Binkley and Representative Davidson some nice pins. If we had something for that particular class of visitor that we could give, I think a small supply of those in addition might not be amiss, I think.
Is there further discussion on this item? Then am I correct in assuming that we will stay with the present policy and look into the possibility of some discriminant use of a little better pin?
So how many pins are we talking about for this purchase?
Well,
how much?
I wish to report from the back of the hall. The back of the bus with Representative Davis, I believe he has a great future in this business. The art of compromise being necessary. He suggests that we have a pen with a bear eating a cabbage. That's our problem.
The buffalo in the background.
Yeah. With the former.
Oh, Madam Chair, I would recommend that we purchase 50,000, 50 to 75,000, and unless they were out of line with the 28 cents, we would go ahead and just purchase those. And the Walrus pens.
And this will be open competition.
Yes, definitely.
What is your pleasure?
So moved. It's not a motion.
Is there objection? Very well.
Okay, more walrus pins. Bears eating cabbages.
Does that complete your report this day?
Yes.
All of you noticed in your packets that you have the proposed 87 budget document. We do have a subcommittee appointed on that, and I'd ask that we look towards having a meeting in that area very soon. We'll get together on that right away. We had some subcommittee reports to come before us today.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Are we going beyond the budget now, or can we talk about that?
We endorsed it. The budget.
I would just assume that all of you would put your input into the committee, and any statement you have to make.
General questions. I was wondering, I can understand why we've got the governor's budget, but I can't understand why he increases ours.
Why? Okay, Senator, I'm not sure. Just the governor, his budget was at the request of our agency and with input from the speaker and the president as to what leadership funds would be in there. I don't. Where do you feel that the budget was increased?
Well, the first page. Maybe I'm reading this wrong, but it says the governor's figure is 3,697,000.8. And our request was only 2,795.1. Am I missing something here?
Pay raise.
Okay, let me see. The governor's.
And there's some other discrepancies relative to increases the governor's gave over our request.
Pam, that is
just
a typo.
Talking in generalities.
Okay, go ahead.
The governor's figures really reflect our FY87 authorized figures. They ask for a complimentary figure months before leadership gets here and we get any direction on our budget. So what usually our governor's figure has reflected is our authorized plus an inflationary figure added on. There's no inflation added on there in that governor's request. You're looking at salaries and allowances, and it's showing a large decrease. And the reason it's showing a large decrease is FY87 authorized reflected a half of year at the $3,900 a month, and a half of a year at $1,845 a month, plus per diem put in for session. The 88 figure reflects a whole year at the $1,845 a month, plus the per diem for during session time. It does not reflect any per diem budgeted during the interim. Traditionally, the interim per diem has been paid out of leadership and council and subcommittee.
I think as the budget committee looks at that too, they'll be taking into consideration that there is a commission report to come in the meantime, is there not?
I guess, really what we're talking about then is that what the governor gave us and what we gave the governor don't mean a hill of beef. It's just very preliminary and it's just something they put on the table, so there's no need to even discuss this particular document this time until get into the budget itself.
Well, actually, the budget.
They grab figures out of the air and put it in the budget, brought it back to us. Now, here's the difference. It don't mean anything because we're going to do it all over again anyway.
We have not, as a council, submitted the budget.
So, this doesn't mean either.
It's some more.
No point in reading this.
How was it described in office? It's more of the soft.
We use the format.
Numbers.
Soft landing.
Maybe Sheffield's budget.
Is there further discussion of the budget before we move on? Then, looking at the subcommittee reports, we had a subcommittee on subscriptions to the Legislative Digest, et cetera. Senator Petula.
Subcommittee did not meet. We may have met unilaterally. The House, I hear, did some interviewing. I have no excuse. I just state that we didn't meet. I did some interviewing on the Senate side, however, and I hear Randy may have and Mr. David may have over on the House side in caucus, but that is pure rumor to me. We talked momentarily in the coffee shop one day. We just didn't meet on the subject. I did meet with senators, though, and I can have a brief report, and I think that the House members have a brief report for some of the presidents of the House.
Then shall we follow that procedure and go right here?
Sure. Well, Madam Chairman, I might like this, you know, pardon my, after about three votes, at least on the minority side, we marginally accepted to purchase this service. So the two of us are prepared to vote yes.
Yes.
Madam Chairman, if I may pass out this little memo on this matter, we did meet individually. And
a committee report, right? Do pass, do not take.
The way I phrased it in our majority caucus, if you have a problem with us buying this service again this year, any of the three publications, please contact me. One person did contact me, and that was in the positive. So I feel obliged to vote for this service for all three publications.
On behalf of the Senate, senators I talked to thought we were paying quite a bit for the service. They thought that next year we ought to take it up probably in November so that it hadn't been initiated in advance of a decision and that for this year we ought to continue it. And that's a fairly good consensus. Many of them thought that they had alternatives now. But that they thought in the fairness doctrine first that we ought to continue because of the lateness of the decision, but that we ought to bring it up again next year for decision before session.
Then is there a motion to go before the chairs before we continue the discussion? What? Move what?
Oh, I move that we accept the subscriptions to the Legislative Digest, Alaska Economic Report, and Legislative Reporting Service.
For a specific period, or?
Yeah, it's in the bids. The specific period is in the bids.
Is there a discussion?
Question.
Question has been called. All those in favor, would you like a roll call vote or just a yes. Roll call vote, please?
Senator Bankley.
Yes.
Representative Cato.
Yes.
Representative Davidson.
Yes.
Senator Eliason.
Yes.
Senator Fakes.
Yes.
Chairman Ferencamp.
Yes.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yes.
Senator Petula.
Yes.
Representative Copeland?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Yes.
Representative Phillips?
Yes.
Representative Ulmer?
Yes.
It looks like there's a very little dissension on that level, so. We will then put that on the agenda for the fourth session, as an item. On the moving and policy, moving and travel policy, Representative Copeland?
If you have a memorandum based on the meeting that we had, we did get a copy of it also to Senator Katula. You notice that there extends the policy to each of the members of the legislature upon arrival, that 10 days while looking for housing, that first session, 5 days, second session, assuming that one has housing, and then 5 days for wind-up at the end of each session. It was discussed to limit the per diem only to the legislator rather than the spouse and dependents, and the thought being the legislator would come down here and find something. However, it was pointed out to Representative Sun that his entire family had to come along because of the, and that the children usually do come in order to undertake school at the beginning of the session, so that it's unlikely that a member of the legislature will arrive unaccompanied, and therefore the rental rate is higher. So that point was thoroughly discussed, and we kept the spouse and dependent in.
Representative Copeland, did you look at the fiscal impact of your recommended policy?
It was calculated to be roughly $30,000, given the number of people that we have.
I guess I'm slightly prejudiced, but then again, I'm not married, I have kids or any like that stuff. But I like to, like you, John, and Mike. I mean, like your feelings on it. I mean, I have my own situation, which is real easy, but I can see where a guy's getting married, has two kids, or a woman for that matter, for him.
Or many kids.
Or many kids. I mean, truthfully, I just have a problem, but that's because of my personal situation. But I don't know what you guys go through when you bring your family down here.
Well, we generally have housing arranged prior to arriving in Juneau. We don't bring the family down and sit in a hotel room seeking out housing. Mm-hmm. We've arranged that prior to coming down here. I think the expenses that we incur prior to the session beginning would be no different than our normal living expenses anyplace else, whether we were at home or here. There are certainly additional expenses that we incur, but not just in the course of buying our meals or day-to-day living. So.
Well, maybe some of us should get married, but I
think we need to. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp. I think perhaps we need a motion before us as we start discussion.
Yeah, that's true.
I move the recommendation that we amend Section 2E as per lead sheet.
Now we can continue our discussion. Thank you. Senator Faith?
I'm going to express the same concern as Representative Phillips. I'd like to hear more discussion from those folks that have to deal with small children and wives that come down here. I don't have that situation at all, even though I'm married and there are four boys. There's just not a problem. And it bothers me a little bit that we are taking care of little children. But I'd like to hear from folks that have to deal with this every session.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd be happy to discuss this situation. I faced it this time myself, and I have three small children, ages 17 months and 6 and 8, and frankly, I'm very happy that the policy was there because I utilized it. And the fact of the matter is, one of my problems right now is that I don't get to spend enough time with my family the way it is. So I was happy to have the 5 days that it took to find the place before I came down, and I sat down there in the driftwood. It was kind of crowded. It wasn't like home. I could have come down by myself, but it involved getting kids out of school on a schedule that accommodated their tremendous transition, and I appreciate it, and I think that the state's getting their money's worth out of me, and I think that they're getting their money's worth out of my children, and I don't think it's an excessive expense.
Representative,
I guess I will speak from experience too. I also have two small children, five and eight, and this is my fifth year in the city here, and I've been in five different locations. Having that age of children, you do tend to find yourself coming down a little bit earlier to get them to school at the beginning of the semester, because it's hard enough on them as it is, bring them down in the middle of the year. And I guess it's a conscious decision that we make, those of us that are married with families, is that we've made the conscious decision to bring them down. Had I not brought them down, I would not be here. Conscious decision. So I guess I use the policy myself. So I guess you could weigh it on both sides. And I guess to bring it, go a little bit farther, I guess what triggered all this was Representative Sun. And since he is not here to explain his situation, the reason why we're here to begin with, that he brought his children down to get them in the beginning of the school year or the beginning of the semester, and his house would not be available until, I believe it was the 19th, the day of the session started, but he had to bring them down 10 days earlier, and they stayed in a hotel for the 10 days. So I guess I would support the proposed change.
I just have a question. Is school year different here than, say, back home in Kodiak or Fairbanks for the kids?
Semester break.
Basically the same.
Basically.
Started 4th or 5th of January.
Mm-hmm. Not the semester. Semester starts the second week, third week.
No.
For elementary school.
Yeah,
elementary school. Yeah. So you're talking about Christmas vacation and not the semester break.
Right. Yeah.
See, senior high kids, you have to worry about exams.
Yes.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I will say I try to save the state money wherever I can. I realize not everyone has children. I haven't taken my draw yet, so I'm trying to save money in that way. So I started getting this job in May, I'm fond of saying, and I have yet to receive a paycheck. Yet between my wife and I, we have at least 4,000 hours in the job. So I try as much as I can to save the state money.
Sandra. Well, my problem is I had 23 different schools. Hmm? 23 different schools. Military, family. And an elementary school child doesn't have a semester break to worry about. They don't have semester exams. You're not timing credits to move that child. I think a secondary school child would have a more trouble transferring. I transferred to 23 different schools. I just find it difficult to understand why you have to time an elementary school kid, but I'm a no vote, I guess.
The whole policy or no? There are report cards that do come out. I know in the Fairbanks district they came out about the 4th or 5th of January, maybe the 7th of January. And there is a new semester that starts at that time. And sometimes they go into all new curriculum or all new phases of the curriculum. And so, yeah, there is, even for the elementary, especially as the elementary is changing over the years. You know, the stuff that my kid does in third grade, stuff that we didn't do in third grade. So I see what the point that the senator is making, and I think it probably is more critical for a high school student as the semesters, but there is even in the smaller grades now too.
Representative Colvin, and then
as I'd like to point out that there are roughly four different points. The current policy allows a per diem for 5 days for a legislator and spouse, so if even a no vote would continue that in. However, the arrival current policy is only a newly elected or appointed legislator gets a per diem for arrival. The other addition, this changes it and makes it all equal, especially since committee chairs should arrive early, officers should arrive early and get the offices set up, and the leadership should arrive early to discuss policy. Also, the wind down period at the end of the session packing and everything, all was fine that particular bind. So that 5 days was put in both cases. So that there are the different bits of the policy that could be changed through there. You can, in other words, I would direct your attention to the fact that there are these different pieces that are put in one proposed policy, and if there's a disagreement about one of the pieces rather than all of them, that should be amended out rather than rejecting the whole policy.
I guess the thing that really bothered me was newly elected versus reelected. I see no difference in the housing problem, and that was one of the things brought us back.
I had a question on this. When we're talking about the first session of a legislature, we're only talking about after an election has taken place.
Right.
Okay. And also, with this per diem, then would they just be reimbursed for their hotel expense plus the $18 per day, or would it be at the normal legislative per diem rate?
Just the normal legislative per diem rate. They'd have to pay their hotel bill out of that.
So if they stayed with a relative or stayed at somebody's house, then they would just pocket the difference between.
If you have relatives down here, I think most legislators don't.
Yeah, if you do, you're.
Central license.
Mm-hmm. Chair, maybe we ought to look at the overall state policies related to state employees who are moving from one job to another. I think theirs is probably more generous than what we're looking at here. I'm not sure, but it seems to me that they have a much more latitude.
We looked at that last year.
In most cases, they're paid much more than we are. So I don't know why we're spending so much time on this.
Representative Davidson, you had something more you wanted to add?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to address the matter of the timing of pulling in kids that in and out of at the elementary level. I think for myself, it was timely to bring them down right after Christmas vacation because of this was the first change in school environment for my children. So perhaps I could beg your indulgence to teach my children how to get along and transfer.
You gotta move around now.
They're not furniture now.
I suppose I come from some experience in this matter.
Yeah.
How many kids? We never provided any assistance to those children who are coming down early. The committees were organized, so if you were on finance or you were on budget audit or legislative council, you got those considerations. No matter, I could go on and on about this, but it is costly, it is expensive. Who knows why you continue to run? It certainly isn't for any monetary reason. These little emoluments that you can give to allow a family to come down, I don't think there's anything wrong with them. It isn't that much if somebody needs it. I've had hundreds of thousands of pounds of freight that I never took. This is the first year I think I ever shipped freight formally in all the years I've ever run. There is always something that we use, and others don't. I would just say that if you didn't need the 10 days, don't take it. And if you live with somebody else, don't take it. Some people are going anyway. I know that. Don't abuse the system. Americans are great at abusing the system. But if you need it, use it. I think it's a small emolument considering the fact that many of us aren't going to get our stats and our phone bills paid out the present salary anyway. We're not getting anything out of it.
Are you ready for the question? Would you call the vote?
I'll give you a break, Mike.
Thank you.
Senator Lysel.
Yes.
Senator Peggs?
No.
Chairman Barenkamp?
Yes.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yes.
Senator Kutula?
Yes.
Representative Kopanen?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Yes.
Representative Phillips?
Yes.
Representative Ulmer?
Yes.
Senator Bankley?
Yes.
Representative Cato?
Yes.
Representative Davidson?
Yes.
And Chair, the motion passes.
Hmm? Motion passes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just assume you'd have the draft available to introduce this to the legislature, is that correct?
What's that?
Yeah. It's just policy.
No,
it's just policy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's the reference to statutes then?
That's just where we get the authority.
I I think it's also the rate.
And the rate. And isn't that on our next report?
Yes, it is, of course, for doing that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Don't forget this.
With Senator Bennett not here on this next policy, is there a rush on this policy?
Who knows?
Well, it would be nice to get it resolved.
We have people traveling at the present time, and the problem comes in knowing whether or not your hotel bill is paid if you're in hearing and anchorage, et cetera. And in reviewing the subcommittee report, and I think perhaps if there's a...
I think I'm the only one here from the subcommittee.
Very well, then.
In all honesty, the subcommittee did not meet.
What's new?
But I did have an opportunity to speak with Senator Bennett, who originated the piece of paper which is in your folder. And this is Senator Bennett's proposal. I also had a brief meeting with Senator Abood, who is the other member of the Senate, of the Legislative Council Subcommittee. And it is my understanding that Senator Abood also agrees with this, with a minor exception, and that is the deletion of the very last sentence under additional session compensation. And so there is a consensus that this approach is appropriate. However, it came to my attention today that there may be a slight legal problem associated with this proposal, and I guess it would be appropriate to just call on Tam Cook if the chair would be willing. Tam Cook did a report back in December, dated December 19th, 1986. It is not in your packet, however, I understand Tam has extra copies. So we might want to just take a tiny look at that. The question is, and I guess maybe Tam could speak to it, is whether or not it would require a legislative change to permit legislators to take per diem during the session here in Juneau and then travel to another place on legislative business and get a second per diem check. And perhaps we could just get clarification.
Well, I think we'll do that in just a moment then. You had something you want to add?
Well, let's go ahead and answer that question.
First of all, I'll
come back later. Another.
I think there's another question here that is not addressed, and that's per diem during interim.
Yeah.
So there's because if the word legislative, you know, it just left legislative, does that mean to go into office, or does that mean committee? Those questions. Maybe, Sandy, did you have anything you wanted to say on Senator Bennett's perhaps of this before we go to Pam?
I'm sorry. I don't feel right speaking on his behalf.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
I think we are probably going to be dealing with this at a future meeting. And I feel that since two of the other members of that committee are not present, and the fact that the committee did not meet, that we refer it back to committee and they can take a look at it. And then maybe in that time they meet, they can discuss the problem with our legal counsel here and come up with something that we know has been, you know, looked at. I don't know why we should go through it here, because we'll probably be talking about it next time, too. I recommend we refer it back to committee.
Thank you very much, Speaker Grusendorf. Is there objection to that procedure? Yes. Yes.
I do have a question here.
Yes.
Every year I ask the same question. For some reason, I don't get it in my head here on this. Why $80 a day for out-of-town guys and then $60 in-town? The rationale behind that. I mean, I tried with Bill Ray and went around and around on that, so I'll try with you.
I can't explain.
I mean, I have a house sitting
up
in Eagle River sitting empty right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm still paying, you know, everything but utilities. So. What's the rationale?
I don't think there's any rationale. I think it has something to do with the tax structure as it relates to people residing with a certain area and outside that area. I think it all comes back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me something like that was discussed in the past. Now,
obviously, the Westons, they'd be getting the same as, if they got the same as we were getting, then we wouldn't probably get the tax break, or they wouldn't either. But I think they have to take that reduction because they live within a certain area, certain mileage around the capital city.
It's 50 miles.
Right, so they're within a circle, the only three in the legislature, and they're treated differently for DM because of that tax break. That's
federal tax.
I think that's federal tax. I think that's the reason. That's the reason, I don't know.
Well, you recall that, Jay?
We had that argument. I do recall that. But I can't remember what the final decision was. At one stage, we paid a significant differential, much less than Juvenile. At other times, previous to that, we had paid equal.
Yeah.
Now, I would suggest that those of us here and those of us who know people within the body back to subcommittee and ask, please, for it to be more in-depth done before the next meeting.
Is the present per diem rate the state rate now in this town? I know IRS allows a considerable, it allows a federal rate. Yeah, it draws a considerable difference and allows that deduction, used to allow that deduction on your income if you didn't get it.
And if I remember correctly, the recommendation from the salary committee that came in last year proposed us addressing that issue through the bill, but no action has ever been taken on that. So perhaps that's another thing the committee would like to look at. Yes.
One thing that this is just a recommendation to the committee is that when this commission, these public members are making up their minds, it'll be April 15th. They may just come out with a flat rate, and I think this point would be moot per diem, wouldn't it?
Well,
I'm just saying to keep that in mind anyway.
Because any recommendation, as I understand, they come out with has to be approved by the body. So it's good that we're looking at it. Yes.
Madam Chair, could I just ask the members of the council who have strong opinions about the per diem policy to please contact me so that I can be educated about this? Thank you.
Further discussion? Then we'll move on to the update on status of the status lawsuit on the 120-day session lawsuit.
Same question, Adam. For some reason, I don't get it in my head here on this. Why the $80 a day for out-of-town guys and then $60 in-town? The rationale behind that. I mean, I tried with Bill Ray and went around and around on that, so I'll try with you. I'll go.
I can't explain.
I mean, I have a house sitting up in Eagle River sitting empty right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm still paying everything but utilities. So, what's the rationale?
I don't think there's any rationale. I think it has something to do with the tax structure as it relates to people residing within a certain area and outside that area. I think it also comes back to that.
Does it?
Seems to me something like that was discussed in the past. Now, obviously, the Westons, they'd be getting the same as. If they got the same as we were getting, then we wouldn't probably get the tax break, or they wouldn't either. But I think they have to take that reduction because they live within a certain area, certain mileage around the capital city.
It's 50 miles.
Right, so they're within a circle, the only three in the legislature, and they're treated differently for DM because of that tax break. That's
federal tax.
I think that's federal tax. I think that's the reason. That's the rationale. I don't know.
Well,
you recall that, Jay?
We had that argument. I do recall that. But I can't remember what the final decision was. At one stage, we paid a significant differential, much less than Juvenile. At other times, previous to that, we had paid equal.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that those of us here and those of us who know people within the body back to subcommittee and ask, please, for it to be more in-depth done before the next meeting.
Is the present per diem rate the state rate now in this town? I know IRS allows a considerable, it allows a federal rate. Yeah, it draws a considerable difference and allows that deduction, used to allow that deduction on your income if you didn't get it.
And if I remember correctly, the recommendation from the salary committee that came in last year proposed us addressing that issue through the bill, but no action has ever been taken on that. So perhaps that's another thing the committee would like to look at. Yes.
One thing that this is just a recommendation to the committee is that when this commission, as public members are making up their minds, it'll be April, I think April 15th, they may just come out with a flat rate, and I think this point would be moot per diem, wouldn't it?
Well,
I'm just saying to keep that in mind anyway.
Because any recommendation, as I understand, they come out with has to be approved by the body. So it's good that we're looking at it. Yes?
Madam Chair, could I just ask the members of the council who have strong opinions about the per diem policy to please contact me so that I can be educated about it? Thank you.
Further discussion? Then we'll move on to the update on status of the status lawsuit on the 120-day session lawsuit. There's a memo in here from Virginia in the packets. The complaint was filed in June of 86. Representative Martin was allowed to file a brief. Is there anyone here to report on that at this time?
No.
It doesn't need to be. I think that's complete enough, is it not? Are there further questions, member of the council, concerning that? Then we're down to members' comments or anything that you wish to bring before this group today.
Perhaps I should turn it over to Representative Phillips. I do have a comment about the previous matter on that lawsuit, and perhaps more appropriate for joint rules, but it would seem that looking at other legislatures, including going back to the British Parliament, that on the final day of business, a call is placed on the House, and the business, no member is excused until the business before on the agenda is concluded, and the clock is stopped at that time. That seemed to be general policy, and that stood for about 300 years, and perhaps joint rules ought to just put that in our rules for the final day. First point. The second thing is much more cheerful. I turn the chair over to Representative Phillips if you'd like to mention the interparliamentary visits that are coming up.
Oh, yeah. Yukon legislators are coming over here. We haven't confirmed the date solid, but February 22nd through the 25th, 26th. And then the Northwest Territorial guys will be coming in here. March 15th through the 20th, I think. And that's as far as we can firm it up because they're in session just like we are. And unlike us, they do not have a limit, so they don't know when they're going to be leaving. So that's a problem. But basically, UConn's coming over 22nd through the 25th, 26th, and Northwest Territories from the 15th of March through the 20th. And I'll be setting up coordinating all this with the particular chairmen, and we'll have informal meetings. It's not going to be as formal as it was in previous years because a lot of us know these guys on a first-name basis now, so I don't think we need to go through the ceremonies. And if you have any questions, just give me a call or Nilo or Ben on that. And this is both for the House and the Senate. And by the way, incumbent leader wants to meet with both the Speaker and the President of the Senate on an informal basis, too.
When we have visiting dignitaries, we are very lax in our protocol in receptions and awareness and all that. Is there going to be a coordinated reception for these folks? If so, who's in charge? There's specific protocol based on various countries. Koreans have certain protocol, Japanese have certain protocol that we have to do if we're going to be totally in order. And I respect the fact that these folks may be our friends and we may be personally involved with some of these folks, but I don't know them from Adam. And so there's got to be some protocol, just government to government, that we need to look at. The State Department desk in the U.S. Department of State has protocol sheets on each one of these countries. And I would really think we need to do this right because we've insulted folks before with being too casual and relaxed.
Well, that's true. Okay, the UConn guys and the NWT guys have asked me to keep this informal. And until tomorrow, I'll be getting the names of the people who will be coming over here from UConn as well as NWT, then the subject matters. I know the government leader has asked his person over there on the other end to ask me to set up a meeting with you, Jan, and with Ben on an informal basis. They do not want to have a formal visit because we've been through this before with Canadians. And they particularly asked me to keep this informal because they do not want to be meeting in front of the committee. They want this to be sort of casual and, you know, on an informal basis. So
does that mean they don't want to have a reception in the president's office or anything?
Well, we could have that, sure. But I don't want, you know.
And I think there should be some. Right.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
In our going to Canada, for instance, and I agree with Senator Fakes completely, they always put on a reception for us.
You need something.
Even though we meet informally with them, they always put on a reception for us, take us out to dinner, do all those things. And I felt that we have been extremely remiss in not having a protocol. I mean, after all, they are the leaders of the government. We're the leaders of our state government. And I definitely think that protocol should be there.
Well, what I was thinking about is, Jan, you had a nice reception for the mayor in your office. That's the type of thing I was thinking about.
That's great. That's okay. I just need to know.
They did indeed ask me to keep it informal. They didn't want a big fanfare because Anwar is going to be a biggie, and they'd rather, you know, take care of this on, you know, in an informal basis rather than a formal basis. But I was thinking more of the lines of your office in conjunction with Ben's office,
right,
and just sort of meet them. But they don't want, and this is honest God, they told me this, they just want to keep on an informal basis. I said, how do you want to handle this? You want a joint session? Anything that you want formal, let me know. I said, no, we don't want to have it formal. So I was thinking, like the reception you had last week for the mayor, you know, they come
in.
That
would be a substantial social opportunity, I think. If they're going to be here 5 or 6 days, somebody ought to have good dinner for them or something.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. In discussing this, Randy, I believe it, who is that first bunch? Is that the UConn? UConn is new.
Right.
In talking with the speaker there, we decided to put down issues that they were concerned about and get them into the standing committees that we had to sit down and talk about those issues, be it health education, be it labor and commerce, be it, you know, resources. And they were more interested in that. They know that we have 120-day time restraint and that we'll be right about in the heavy part of it, and they didn't want to take too much of our time. Now, if we have a grand finale or something, or, you know, that would be fine too, but they're here to work, and I expressed that our bunch was here to work too, and they agreed to that.
We can decide if you have a function from 3 to 5 in the afternoon, that is less formal than if you have a function after 5 o'clock. There are certain things you serve before 5, as you serve after 5, and that's the kind of thing I'd like us to talk about. You can have an informal reception from 3 to 5, and it can be cheese and punch or cookies and punch, and you will have met your protocol requirements. And they can, I'm not talking about what they do in the committees. That's a whole different issue, and that's worked out on a working basis. But the social end of it, the protocol end of it, is what I'd like to discuss, and I'm willing to do whatever. But there's a difference as to whether you have it in the afternoon, in the evening, how late in the evening, are we going to include dinner, all those things.
That'll be up to
Thursday or Friday night.
That'll be up to you two guys. Really, I mean,
I'm anti-social. You're social.
Social has nothing to do with social. I hate socials. I hate cocktails. I hate to do this. There's protocol, government to government protocol, that I'd like to see council look at and elevate the education of council. There's no one who hates a cocktail party more than I do. I won't go. You guys, I've not attended one in Juneau. You won't see me in one in Juneau. I don't like to do them. But when it's government to government, we have insulted some of these folks, the Chinese for one, and I heard about it when I was in Beijing. We've insulted them because we did not know enough to do some simple protocol courtesy things. And it's something that I think council should do, and it's not going to hurt any of us to learn more about it.
But you did. Jan, you're dealing with a different type of culture and people here. I mean, I understand that the Eastern culture. They, you know, I was just thinking, they said they want to keep it informal. I figured you and Ben can have a little reception either in your office or separate for that matter, and have it just like what you had the mayor, cheese and crackers and, you know, a couple glasses of wine and pop, and just meet them on an informal basis. But they did indeed ask me to keep, try to keep this thing informal, because we had it real elaborate last time, believe me. I mean, real elaborate for the last three or four exchanges. And they don't want to, they don't want that. They want to get down to business on this, particularly Anwar. So.
I guess I'm not making myself clear. All I'm saying is this group should decide at what level we do it. I don't care what level, just as long as we discuss it and decide.
Frankly, I think it ought to be left to you and Ben to decide how to do it. I mean, you're the presiding officers of the House and Senate, and then you should decide among yourselves.
Randy, I think I'd like to come in here just a moment. I really think we owe it to both bodies to have an understanding of the protocol of whichever groups are coming around, and to see that we try to prevent from our various committees within the group, be it foreign trade or whatever, be it east, west, or indifferent, that we do have some idea, particularly among this group, of what should or should not be done. And I think that that's an issue that we'll address as the chair of this committee, try to see that we do have some protocol available. I would appreciate it if the speaker and the president would work with you, and we would look at this from a broader point of view than just the North.
Okay, well, if you're dealing with that, yeah, I agree. I agree with you. If you're dealing with worldwide for this particular group, not that big of a deal, but for other countries, yeah, I agree with you. If you're talking about just a straight-out protocol policy for anybody else, yeah, I agree.
The key is each country is
different. Right. I understand that.
I'm going to drink beer with these people.
Well, they'll love it too, Ben. They'll love it.
Before we complete the story here, Senator, before you had a statement.
Just that it was brought before the council and the council participation, I think those things the presiding officers wish to do to involve themselves for each body, they should, and that's a coordination with you. But I'm not entirely certain that it isn't something that shouldn't be discussed here at some stage. I think this is the place to discuss it. Otherwise, why do we serve as presiding interim and coordinated between the two bodies? This is something that will affect both bodies. We're worth coordinating effort here if we do it right. And again, it seems to me, reflecting on it over the years, that there are certain social things we ought to be doing. We ought to do them right. And we ought to treat our out-of-state people with some dignity, and we should spend some money on it. I don't mind saying everybody contribute that's here at this table, but the state should pick up the tab for some of these functions and some of these things for the people at least that are visitors and guests. We got to do some things. I don't care whether it's do something at their hotel room level as a personal thing, and do something at the dinner level. Do something then in the speaker and the president, that's their responsibilities for the individual bodies, but it ought to be a little bit coordinated through you. We have to do some things. I know you know that, and I know you know how to do it because I watched you at the Western Conference.
We will certainly have.
It's going to reflect on the state's relationship to these people for years to come, interestingly enough.
Well, we all know horror stories, and and I'm afraid that they're happening more often than used to. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess several things have been brought out here that maybe Representative Phillips and myself, maybe Nilo, could meet with some members of this group here on the Senate side, and then we could discuss this at our next meeting. We have just a little bit of time, not much, and see if we can come up with something that makes it flow and that we're do have them scheduled and busy with a little bit of activity in there as well.
That makes sense to me. Senator Fates, would you get a couple of people then to meet with these and let's try to work that out, and we'll be looking at the bigger picture.
Well, something as simple as when somebody knows there's going to be a foreign government dignitary official coming to this town, you let somebody know about it. Those senators came from this Canadian Senate, and I had no idea that they were here. I was totally embarrassed, and that is just bad. Bad scoops.
At that point.
I didn't know either.
Somebody knew. They didn't just fly into town.
Well, that's what I was asking John. It's fishing game, actually. Is
yeah, I just got invited.
You know, it wasn't a legislative deal. It was a administrative deal.
Slip here.
No questions. Yeah. I didn't even go to the road.
I think that can work through coordination with the various government agencies and this and the legislature, because we have not been having coordination with that.
Pursue that. I think
Neil, do you have comments?
No. I want to tell you what was wrong with today beyond anything else around the table. She spotted it. But, for instance, I've put some 10 years ago put some effort in the transboundary situation. And I really think it's important to the Yukon King, along with a lot of other fisheries. In the hall was no time for me to mention my interest. And my God, we had people from Ottawa here. You know? Mm-hmm. They are mm-hmm. making the decision for that nation.
Yeah.
And if they just help the British Columbia and the Yukon Territory people out just a little bit with that interest, and maybe they will from other sources, but
even
we have papers, we have lots of things we could have just handed them, and maybe somebody there would have made a decision at the federal level that would have been of assistance to preserving the king salmon on the Yukon, for instance. Mm-hmm. It was just terribly distressful because I just mentioned my interest just to mention it, but hell, we were moving on. And here was an opportunity lost that won't be available again in my service in the legislature. I just bit my neck.
I want to say here, I met them in the hall as we are being called in session.
Certainly.
With no opportunity at all to discuss anything with them. So.
Well, I know there was an opportunity right here, and I participated in it. I think it was a resources committee.
Right, I was there too.
And I came down because I'd heard about it and came down to participate. But I know they met with the joint Senate and House resource committees to discuss issues, as you just mentioned.
So same thing with me. I'm not a member of that committee, but anything that deals with Canada, I'm interested. So they put it on my card, and my staff, and I just naturally drifted in here. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you.
Okay.
Let's
coordinate these things. Yeah. A simple memo to everybody. FYI, information. Wad it up if you want.
Okay, but Jan, I plan on doing that with both the UConn and the NWT as soon as I nail down the names and the times. And the minute that happens, I want you guys
are doing good.
Do your protocol.
The Canadians, we missed the boat on those senators.
Right.
And we got invited to lunch yesterday?
No.
How did that happen? Well, no, but I mean, I just assumed every legislator got an invitation from them.
Madam Chairman, in defense of the Fish and Game Department, I got a letter back in January before session started, which was CC'd to countless people telling us that these people were coming to Juneau, that they're going to be meeting.
Well, somebody in the administration should do a better job of coordinating. These are big, hot
foots. Well,
some of us, had schedules and that.
Well, I had conflict too, but I drove it.
Every now and then you miss the boat.
It's Senator Fakes, did you have any comments before we...
I've said enough, Matt.
No, you're right.
Anyone else decided? Okay, we did, as a bit of a report to you before we adjourn, we did contact a little report on this painting. We have done our homework.
Well, is it worth anything?
Yes. it was... Joan, would you just report on that so that I'll say and read stuff?
I called two different museums. I called the State Museum in Anchorage Historical Fine Arts Museum to ask about the quality, or the value, I should say, of the painting. They both said that they were real nice for Alaskans because the subjects were of historical interest, but that they generally weren't valued for their artistic value. It's more their historical value. So they estimated probably an original. Most of his originals are worth like maybe $600, you know, like a new artist, that kind of a thing. They recommended against getting an appraisal. So I coordinated. I sent a letter to, or Betty had sent a letter to Mr. Yushinov, asking him to get in touch with a local moving company down there. It's being coordinated through a moving company here. They're going to crate it up, ship it up, insure it. We've asked the local mover to put a cap on the amount of insurance that he can request, but just to give name a value for the work, basically, not to exceed like maybe $1,000, and ship it up. So that's where it stands.
Well, in other words, we're not going to use anywhere near the money allocated. And
thank
you.
Anything else to come before the council? Council's adjourned.